Really a pleasure to be here. Can everybody hear me okay in the back? I'd like to tell you a little bit about some reclamation research that's going on in Virginia with some titanium mining. And the title of the presentation is Impact of Soil Reconstruction Method on Nitrate Accumulation in Forages Grown for Livestock Feed. Most of this land is being reclaimed as hay and pasture land, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about nitrates and forages as we get into this talk. I'd like to point out my co-authors, especially Lee Daniels. Lee Daniels is heading this project up, and he's a nationally known soil scientist that works in reclamation, and I'm very happy to be part of this project and be invited to participate as a forage person on this project. We have a similar project that's with row crops, those results are also becoming available. I'd like to just tell you a little bit about where the project site is. If you'll, I don't think we have a pointer, do we? If you see Richmond, Virginia, it's kind of on the middle of the map on the right, your right-hand side. We're about 60 miles south of Richmond, Virginia, is where this is, near Stony Creek, Virginia. There's a titanium deposit that runs, of heavy mineral sands, that runs from Virginia down to Florida. And this company started in Virginia, and they're mining that deposit. And as they mine it, they're moving south. They've actually moved a lot of the plant to North Carolina now and are starting to mine there. We currently have about 1,000 hectares of land in Dinwiddie County, Virginia, that's has been seriously disturbed by mineral sands mining. The way this process works is they remove the topsoil. It's stockpiled for reclamation, which is the best case scenario. Sometimes it's not stockpiled as well as it should be. And then the sand deposit below the topsoil is taken with an excavator. It's placed in this piece of equipment where it's mixed with water and it's pumped to a separation area. And it's mechanically separated for the first step of processing. And what's left is actually pumped back into these dewatering ponds. And so soil disturbance is complete. And what we have when they pump back to these dewatering ponds is quartz sand and clay material. These discharge points that go into these watering ponds, one of the big issues that we had at the beginning of the process was that the discharge point would stay in the same place. And the quartz sand would settle out first, and then the clay would settle out further out. So what we had was areas that were almost predominantly quartz sand in areas that were almost predominantly clay. What we figured out as we get into this reclamation is that we need to move that discharge point around on a regular basis to help with the mixing of the clay material and the quartz sand. Even when you do that, the landscape that's left has a high level of heterogeneity, so we do have a lot of variation in these reclaimed mine soils. This is kind of what it looks like after those ponds are dewatered. And we have to get something to grow on this. And the protocol calls for lime and fertilizer, and then return of stockpiled tall topsoil. And that was a little bit of a problem as we got into this process, because what the company discovered was that there was high concentrations of titanium in the topsoil. So sometimes it wasn't stockpiled as well as it should be, and there was no topsoil available to return over the area. And then established a hay and pasture land mixture on this. One thing I want to point out about these soils is that they weren't marginal going into this process. They were some of the highest producing peanut soils in the state of Virginia, and they were drastically disturbed during this process. Initially, this land was to be reclaimed to row crops. But as we got into the process, the company decided that that was not going to be feasible, and they moved their permit down to hay and pasture land. So I want to talk, one of our treatments is biosolids, so I just wanted to give a quick overview of biosolids in reclamation, and there's a very good chapter on this in the Reclamation of Drastically Disturbed Lands monograph from ASA. And basically, just summarizing it in one sentence, is that use of organic nitrogen sources, such as biosolids or manures, increase the overall success in reclamation. That's kind of the bottom line, and it affects a whole bunch of different soil properties, and some of those are listed here. One of the issues with using biosolids is always that the health and environmental concern, and a lot of that's emotional when we talk about biosolids, and this was also reviewed very well in this chapter. And what the conclusion was in this chapter was even a one-time use of very high rates of biosolids in the reclamation process really poses minimal risk to health or the environment. So I know this is just a little bit of basic review, but nitrates are an issue with ruminant livestock especially, and basically what happens in the rumen is that nitrates convert the nitrite, it binds with the hemoglobin and makes methemoglobin that can't transport oxygen. In the animal actually dies of lack of oxygen. Dangerous levels of nitrates in forages varies depending on the literature that you look at, but somewhere between 2,500 on the conservative side parts per million nitrate ion to around 10,000 parts per million nitrate ion. And there's lots of, as with any other poisoning, there's lots of factors that affect it. You know, the condition of the animal, the diet of the animal, the amount of energy in the diet, and so forth. So not all animals are poisoned at the same level. One thing to remember is that nitrates are stable in hay. And that means that we can make hay in May and kill animals in January or February. It doesn't go anywhere, and that's very important for people to remember. Another interesting thing is the horses tend to be more tolerant to nitrates. So where a ruminant animal may be affected at half a percent to a percent, we have a percent and a half to 2% nitrates in forage that can be tolerated by horses. The objective of this study was to document the effect of soil reconstruction methods used on the concentrations of nitrate in the forage tissue. Our experimental design was a random complete block with a split plot treatment arrangement and four replications. Our plot size was 15 by 84 meters. These are our soil reconstruction treatments. The first one was a control, and that was simply after the pond was dewatered, applying lime and fertilizer and deep ripping net material to help break up soil compaction. Our second one was biosols. We applied a heavy rate of lime stabilized biosols, 78 megagrams per hectare, dry tons. And then we ripped those soils to break up soil compaction. Third one involved ripping the soil, lime, fertilizer, and then coming back with 15 centimeters of topsoil return. These are how the treatments look. The dark one on your left would be the biosolids treatment. The one in the center that's kind of a grayish color would be the topsoil return, and then on the right-hand side would be the control where we just applied lime and fertilizer and ripped the soil. This is actual ripping, and we ripped to 90 centimeters with a three-shank ripper on a bulldozer to break up compaction in the subsoil. When we revegetated the soil, we used a cool season legume grass mixture that included tall fescue, and we used the novel endophyte tall fescue, orchard grass, red and white clover, and alfalfa. And the alfalfa has persisted much better than I would have imagined on this type of a soil. And we seeded these plots. We applied the treatments in the summer of 2005 and seeded the plots in the fall of 2005. The other treatment that we had in this study was we stripped the nitrogen across the plot. So we had these strips of soil reconstruction treatment, and then across half of those we applied either no nitrogen or 252 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. And we applied that as a three-way split application. In the spring, at spring green up after the first harvest, and then in the fall as the plots came out of summer and started to grow again. We determined nitrates by clipping a strip of forage from the center of each plot, and then we subsampled that for dry matter and nitrate. We dried it and ground it as normal, and then we used a modified salicylic acid method to quantify the nitrates in the forage tissue. And then we're reporting the values as the nitrate ion. And if you've ever worked with nitrate at all, there's three or four different ways to report it, and it can get pretty confusing. So we're actually using the NO3 minus ion to report our values in. All right, as far as the statistics, we just use the general linear model procedure from SAS. We separated means with Fisher's protected least significant difference. We found no nitrogen by soil reconstruction treatment, so today what I'm going to show you is the main effects of nitrogen and soil reconstruction method. This was the first harvest. We established the plots in October of 2005. This is the spring of 2006, and this is the first harvest. As you can see, we had no nitrate accumulation. We have nitrates on our y-axis, and on the x-axis we have soil reconstruction method. We had no nitrate accumulation for our control treatment with lime and fertilizer or our topsoil return treatment. We did have significant nitrate accumulation from our biosolids treatment, as you would expect. What's interesting is in the literature, in that review chapter in Reclamation of Drastically Disturbed Lands, there was never any mention of nitrate accumulation in the forage tissue. And this can be a pretty big issue if you're feeding that forage to ruminant livestock. So we had a significant accumulation in this first harvest of around 1% nitrogen or 10,000 parts per million nitrate. The second harvest, that first year after establishment, is when things really let loose. So things started to warm up, and nitrogen started to be mineralized from the biosolid treatment, and a lot of the nitrogen entered the system. And we had very high levels of nitrate in that second harvest into the toxic range, so 2.5% nitrate, way, way too high to be feeding to ruminant livestock. So going into the second year after establishment, so this is the first harvest in 2007, we still had a significant difference for the biosolid treatment, but it was all in the safe range. So we were below 2,500 parts per million nitrate in the forage tissue. And we followed that same trend in the first harvest of 2008, so this would be the third year, the third growing season after initial establishment. Still a significant difference, but all in the safe range. And this is the second harvest in 2008. And again, same trend, significant difference, but all in the safe range. When we looked at the impact of nitrogen, applying additional inorganic nitrogen fertilizer that was stripped across those soil reconstruction treatments, we found really no big differences. A few statistical differences, but really biologically insignificant. And again, we saw in that second harvest in August of 2006, so that's that first establishment year, first year after establishment, high rates of nitrates, but no significant difference due to additional nitrogen fertilizer. And the small differences that we saw were all in the safe range for the additional harvest. So I kind of wanted to just to bring home a couple recommendations if we're going to use biosolids in reclamation programs. The first thing is that high rates of biosolids are likely to result in toxic levels of nitrate in the forage. And we've got to remember that when we use those in reclamation programs. So forage is being fed to livestock. We have to monitor for nitrate accumulation, and I said for at least two growing seasons after the initial application. I think that's going to be pretty important. We certainly don't want any of that forage entering the feed chain for ruminant livestock. And it's going to be especially important, as everybody in this room knows, to monitor it, if we have a drought, because nitrates tend to accumulate at greater rates during periods of slow plant growth, such as droughts. And with that, I would be happy to answer any questions that you all may have. And I will mention that we have much more data than just the nitrates. We've got yield and botanical composition and nutritive value that we're collecting along with the nitrate data. So is there any questions? I see one hand in the back, kind of.
What was the rate of nitrogen in the biosolid applications? You know, the equivalent rate of nitrogen. in the biosolids?
I'm almost embarrassed to tell you.
Wow.
But it was very, very high. We figure there's probably around 30 pounds of nitrogen per dry ton of biosolids, and we applied 78, well, about 75 dry tons. So over 2,000 pounds of nitrogen. Yeah. The goal was not to get nitrogen into the system with the biosolids, but to introduce organic matter into the system. The biosolids came out of Northern Virginia, out of the Washington, D.C. area, and they were lime stabilized. So for every dry ton of biosolid, we got about 2/10 of a ton of lime. Very low in potassium, high in phosphorus, and that's one of the characteristics of these mine soils are that they tend to be very low in phosphorus to start with. So that was an important contribution to the biosolids also, was bringing that phosphorus level up. Yes?
Chris, what are you going to do with the high nitrate towards the first year or two?
Well, from a practical standpoint, you don't want to feed it, but when I look at hay, I see more than just feed in hay. We could use it for a soil amendment in a pasture. We're going to be transporting nutrients from one area to another, and we could possibly use it as a soil amendment in our poor areas within pastures or hay fields, or we could use it for mulch along roadsides. Is there any other questions? Thank you for your attention.